Father, thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, for your presence here tonight, for your indwelling, for your empowerment. That you love us in spite of ourselves, you love us no matter what. You'll never stop loving us. And you never give up on us. You never stop when we do something that is not according to your perfect will. But you continue to love us above and beyond what we can even understand. Lord, thank you for the worship time that we had, entering into your presence and just basking in the glow of your Spirit. And Spirit of God, thank you for being here tonight. For without you, this doesn't matter. So we need you so desperately here tonight. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We welcome, of course, those around the world and listening in online tonight. And the title of tonight's message is Behold What Manner. Behold What Manner. I'd like you to turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. We'll do verses 1 through 3, but I'm going to be touching in different areas as we go through this. Behold what manner. Something I try not to do very often is look in the mirror. Because when I look in the mirror, it seems like I get flooded with my failures and my faults. And the older I get, I mean, look at you guys. The older you get, they call them crow's feet. I don't have crow's feet, I have buzzard feet coming out. So when I look in the mirror, I have a hard time understanding that when the Father looks from heaven and down at me or at you, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ, because we have the bestowed righteousness of God upon us when we receive him, when we receive him into our lives and we're born again. So when the Father looks down from heaven, he sees us, he sees Jesus, his Son. When I look in the mirror, I see the reflection of the faults and past hurts or harms that I've done, and I don't see Jesus all the time looking back at me. Yet when we look at the Father, we're to look through the Son, Jesus, and we see the Father in all of his glory. His train filling the temple, as talks about in Isaiah chapter 6. It's difficult for us in our humanity to understand all that Jesus did when he poured out his love upon us on the cross. I don't think I'll ever be able, this side of heaven, to grasp what he's done and what he continues to do. When I find myself looking in the mirror and thinking, how can God love me? Perhaps it may be after I've messed up or I've said something spitefully wrong to somebody or I've thought some thought that I shouldn't have thought or I've talking to Becky the other day and she said she got a kick out of that I said from the pulpit I was always afraid I would cuss in the pulpit. That's been one of my biggest fears for 30 years. That I would cuss in the pulpit. If I cuss tonight, it's your fault. I try not to even think of a cuss word in the pulpit. So I'm not going to say hell. No one can be as hard on a true Christian as another Christian or Christian themselves. You know, it floors me that we've come up with this thing called a selfie. You know, and people are trying to get 16-foot selfies on Amazon.com if they get near the Pope in order to take a selfie of themselves and the Pope 16 feet away. You get shot trying to take a selfie of you and the Pope. But yet, what do we think about most of the time? We don't think about the love of God being poured out into our self. We're selfish more often than thinking about others and how we can reach out to them. It's interesting that self is the first to condemn us, even though we've been told over and over again. We've been taught for many years now, most of us, out of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Chapter starts with no condemnation and ends with no separation. Yet we forget that when we look in the mirror. We forget all that God has done for us. And then we forget in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can you understand that? That we can be cleansed from unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. By just confessing our sins to Him. And He forgives us. Let's read our text for tonight. And I do believe that it will help us to maybe look at the mirror a little bit differently from now on as we see what God has done for us. Behold what manner of love. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Of course, the title, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Did you catch that? Purifies himself, herself, just as He is pure. How pure is God? And yet God the Father looks at us and sees the Son. And the pureness is there from that bestowed righteousness. Behold what manner or by what fashion or means does He love us? I believe first you have to set a stage for that. Chapter 1 shows the fullness of God's love in motion when it states in 1 John chapter 1. Listen to what it says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Look in the mirror and you see the fullness of joy that comes from a relationship with a loving God. The stage is set. They saw Him. They heard Him. They touched Him. Now, I would be afraid to touch Jesus. I would be afraid of His pureness, of His... I would be like the woman who, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, then I could be healed of all this junk that's in me, these thoughts that happen at times, and sometimes the depression that takes place or the feelings of inadequacy. They saw Him, they heard Him, they touched Him, their joy was full. Wouldn't you like to have fullness of joy all the time? 24/7, it's coming. It's coming when Jesus Christ comes. It's coming, and the sooner the better. Chapter 2 then confirms who loves Him, if you love Him, if I love Him, if we love Him, when it states in verses 5 and 6, but whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, or matured in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk as he walked. Did you? Did I walk as Jesus walked today? No, I didn't. Did I want to? Yes, I wanted to. Every day when if I go off to some place, I want to walk as Jesus walked. How did he walk? He walked in pure love. He didn't look at somebody on the side of the road or in another car or he didn't look at somebody with anger unless they were doing something against his Father in heaven, like the money changers. Christ looked at others differently than we do today. Christ looked at others with a love that encompasses, surpasses our understanding. And I want that. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be able to I don't care what sign they're holding up. I don't care what car they're in. I don't care the things they're doing. I want to be able to look at them with the love of Jesus. I want that to happen. I don't know that it will this side of heaven. Maybe for you. I hope for me. I know some that are very close to that I'm around, that they can look at a person with that love and they can pray for them a prayer that I couldn't even come close to. I believe that it's important due to what Jesus stated many years before John even wrote this statement, that we understand this importance of abiding in his word and doing what he says. The guys were all sitting together in a huddle and they were looking up at the temple and they said, Jesus, what's going to happen? You know, what's going to take place? And he said in Luke chapter 6, talking about some of the people, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Let me ask you a question. And you don't have to answer me, but you can answer yourself. Do you always do what Jesus tells you to do? You know, that person comes up and you look at them and Jesus says, I want you to talk to them about me. I know you do, don't you? Every time, boy, you just jump right on the saddle there and say, let me tell you about Jesus. But yet Pastor Bill has asked us every morning before we go out, we pray, Lord, if there's somebody out there you want me to share you with, bring them to me. Bring them to me. And I don't always pray that. And I always think that way. You know why? Because I'm selfish. Because I don't want to take the time and the trouble at times to do that. And that's not right. And that's not the way I want to be. I want to be different. I want to be more like Jesus. Do you? I don't want to just be looked at from the Father's view and he sees his son Jesus. I want you to be able to look at me and see more of Jesus. I want to be able to look at you and see more of Jesus. Because we are Jesus to a lost world. We are all that they have to show the love of God to a world that is quickly going down the tubes. Again, our text. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. They don't have a clue. They don't understand. They want to get rid of you. And it's going to go on worse and worse, where the world is going to want to throw Christians off the planet so that the planet can move forward in all of its glory and be what it's supposed to be. You are going to be, as a Christian, a hunted individual before long. Already in other countries, Christians are being hunted and killed, aren't they? You think, whoa, not in America? Are you kidding? It is coming. And we've got to be prepared. And we can only be prepared through God's word. And we have, it says in verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. To be pure like the Lord, to be pure like Jesus, to purely give out the word of God to somebody without any selfish ambition inside, without any putting another notch in my belt. Boy, there's another one. That's 16 in the last 13 days. Without having to talk to somebody else about that you talk to somebody about Jesus. It should come out of us naturally, and it doesn't out of me as it should. It should be a joyful attitude because we have a joyful God. We have a loving, living God. When I look in the mirror, I have a hard time seeing past me. I have a hard time truly seeing Jesus in me. I know you do too at times. Yet I know from Scripture that when God the Father sees you, He sees His Son Jesus, and thank God for that. Thank God when the Father looks down upon you, He sees His Son. Thank God for the bestowed righteousness of Christ upon us, who while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me, so that we could have that pureness in us. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't come flying down the aisle or like with 16 women just waving banners, running down the aisle, and look, here comes the Spirit like a 757 flying in. The Spirit walked through the door with you, for the Spirit's in you. And the presence of the Spirit goes with you wherever you go. And where you go, you want to take the Spirit with you, don't you? So we always have to be so careful about our actions, about our love, and the love of God. Because I believe there's no greater subject in the world than the love of God. There's no greater thing in the world than the love of God. As Pastor Bill always says, love never fails. I do. Do you? But yet when we give out God's love, it does exactly what it's supposed to do. Because since God loves us, it means that He's not way off in outer space. He's not with Matt Damon in the Martian movie right now. Okay? God's not way out there in space somewhere, you know, where there's a sign at the very end of space that says, you're at the end of space. He's not out. He's here. He's in our midst. He's with us. He works through us. He works with us. He works in us in order to bring others to Himself. And because since God loves us, it means that He's concerned about us. That He's not unreachable, that we can basically, at any moment of any day, God is not busy. Now, sometimes when someone calls you, you go, I can't take the call right now. I'll call you later. Do you ever say that? Or do you just not answer at all? See, God doesn't do that. God's never busy. Have you noticed that? When you're crying out to Him, even if everything's going really good, you say, hey, how you doing, Lord? You know, He's listening right then. It says in the Scripture that His thoughts concerning you are innumerable, that He thinks about you every moment of every day. Does that blow your mind? Sometimes I don't want Him thinking about me. Because sometimes I'm not doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, maybe. Sometimes I would rather the Lord be a little bit more distant. What about you? But yet that's not what I really want with all my heart. I want to be more like Him. It assures me also that God is not a mean, vindictive, vengeful Father. That He does not cause all the bad things to happen in the world around us, such as accidents, diseases, and death. I do believe that God is concerned about the dire straits the world is in right now. And I do know this too, that we from the signs of the times, we are closer than we've ever been before to the return of the Lord. Closer than ever. And some have said, and I understand that every generation is saying, you know, the Lord is coming back, the Lord is coming back, the Lord. Well, one of these generations, it's going to happen. And I hope it's ours. And I hope it's quickly. I wish it had happened before I got up here tonight. But it also means something else too. God does not hover over you just waiting for you to mess up like my dad used to do. Just one thing wrong, you know, I was going to get busted. See, God doesn't just hover over you, just waiting for you. I'm saying, well, what are you going to do today? Yeah, what mistake are they going to make today so I can just get them? God doesn't do that. God thinks only good about you and wants the best for you and wants to help you in every single thing you do. God cares and looks after us. God helps us through all the trials and temptations of life. God saves us from the sin, the evil, corruption, and death that's in the world today. And that God will provide a way for us to be delivered from the coming judgment of wrath against sin. How do I know that? Promised it in His Word. You're not under His wrath any longer as a Christian. You're under His grace, His mercy, and His love. Therefore, since God loves us and has demonstrated His love to us, then He must expect us to respond. Now, when you go up and love somebody, what do you expect them to do? Slap you? Well, in certain cases, I mean, if you just walk up to a person on the street and say, hey, I love you, you might get slapped. But I mean, somebody you've known for a while, you walk and say, I love you. What do you expect them to say in return? I love you back. What does God expect of you? Does God love you? Yes. So when you say, God, I love you, what do you expect Him to say back? I love you too. Now, when God says, I love you, what does He expect you to say back to Him? I love you too. See, that's a relationship. And we get that relationship through the power of the Spirit working in us and through us as we walk with Him day to day. You know, it's not the old two sets of footprints, you know, in the sand, that little thing from many years ago. Some of you won't remember what it is, but it was, you know, Lord, how come there was only one set of footprints in the sand? You know, when you said you were walking right with me, He said it's because I was carrying you. See, that's why it's one set of footprints. God carries us through this life. He equips us, and He doesn't ignore us like so much the world does today. Love expects to be loved in return. In fact, if someone loves us and we do not receive that love, then that love has never touched us. It's never reached into the depths of our heart. And God wants your heart. When He says in Scripture that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, He wants to change your heart. He wants to turn your heart of stone into a heart filled with the love of God. A heart with love that surpasses all understanding. So that we can know love and we can receive that love and we can share that love. For God loves us so much. And in order to receive that love, we have to experience that love. We have to enter into a relationship with a loving God in order to be filled with that love, in order to pour it out on others that are around us so that we care for them. Now, is this going to happen 24/7? I haven't seen that in my lifetime. I know I haven't seen it in my life. Hopefully I'll see it in my lifetime. I'll find someone that 24/7, they're always talking about the love of God and they're sharing the love of God with others around them. Don't you wish we could all be that way? Continually? The world would change. Few people truly love God. In the very next chapter it states, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So when I say few people truly love God, the numbers are going to get fewer. For it also states in Matthew chapter 24, I told you about the men all standing around, sitting around, looking at this beautiful ornate temple and saying, "Well, we got a little time to kill here. What's going to happen in these last days? Jesus, fill us in," right? He says, in that time, those very latter days, many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures to the end. Are you an endurer? Are you doing the best you can to endure? You know how you can endure? You can just keep asking God for help. Don't ever stop asking for help. Don't think you got it all together, because I'm going to tell you a secret. Don't tell anybody else either. Not a one of you have it all together in here. Myself included. Now, my wife is close. Those are good points. Okay. But the rest of you, you're working on it just like I am. We are all going to face trials, terrible trials perhaps, and we need God's help. Do you agree? How do we get that help? We ask Him. How do we ask Him? Through prayer, we say, "God, because of your love for us, will you help me through this? I need you right now, Lord." Why is it so often that when we're in trouble, we pray? Instead of when we're having a good time, we pray. Have you ever, you notice that? When you're just all bubbly and excited and happy, you know, and things are just going, you zip, you're having fun, and are you thinking of God? Not a lot of the time. But boy, when you get in trouble, first word comes out of your mouth is, "God, help." When you have a cold love and you try to walk through this life without knowing God's love and care, you face the terrible trials, you face the temptations, you face life alone. Those people have no help except what man can give, because they've rejected the love and the help of God. Those people who have that cold love, so to speak, or their love has grown cold, have to face suffering and sorrow and the death of loved ones all alone. I have done so many funerals now. I have seen funerals where the people were joyful because their loved one was in the arms of God. And I've been at others where they've got that look on their face where I have no clue where they are. And I don't know where I'm going. Those are the times when God wants to use you the most. I would rather do funerals than weddings, because funerals open the heart up to the opportunity for the love of the Lord to be shared and to be ministered to those people when they don't have that hope that we have. In a wedding, a lot of the times, the people are just standing there lying to one another anyway anymore. Till death do us part, and or is the prenuptial in order? And we'll go past that. They have to confront death without really knowing if God is on the other side waiting to judge them or not. They have no hope beyond this life, feeling that this life may be all there is, but they're not quite sure. They're wondering if perhaps there might be something after death. But thanks be to God, He loves the world. He loves us all. He loves us while we were yet sinners. He cares for us continually. As it states in John chapter 14, verse 23 and 24, Jesus, talking to a man, said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Now, interesting. We've got this old, old song called "I've Got a Mansion Just Over the Hilltop." In that bright land where I'll never grow old, and someday yonder I will never more wander, but walk the streets that are paved with gold. But not a lot of people have that hope anymore. See, they're looking at what the world has to offer, not the love of God. And you are not only the love of God, but you are also the light of this world. And you are the salt that God has thrown out in order to influence those who don't know about that love God has for them. Now let's look at verse 2 again. And it's a cool verse, 1 John 3, verse 2, because it's about His return. "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He's revealed, we shall be like Him." Isn't that cool? When Jesus shows up, you're going to be like Him then. You won't have to worry about looking in a mirror. You'll be just like Jesus. You'll look just like Him when He's revealed. "For we shall see Him as He is." It's a great pronouncement. "Beloved, now we are the sons, the children of God." It's not that we shall be God's children. We're already God's children when we received Him into our heart. When we have trusted and given our lives to Jesus Christ, we are now the children of God. "Beloved, you're a child of God now." But there's a mystery to it. Because we do not know what we shall look like when Christ returns. We'll look like Him, but what does He look like? Is He going to be what we know of the Transfiguration? Will He be bright and shining star? Will he show the scars that we put on Him through our sin? Will that be what we look like? Or will we look like pure love? For Christ is pure love. Expositor Oliver Green made an excellent observation concerning this one section, this one verse. He says, "What we shall be hereafter is not fully revealed, but we know that we are the sons of God now, and that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His dear Son, as it states in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where it says, 'For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren.'" It says, we shall be like Him. What is involved in this tremendous declaration, we do not fully know now. And even if God had seen fit to explain it to us, we would not be able to understand it with our poor, limited, finite minds, Mr. Green stated. Then he went on to say, we cannot understand a body, a personality like that. We cannot comprehend such tremendous truth with these finite minds. Therefore, God did not try to explain in detail what it will mean to be like Jesus. We will just wait and let Him show us in that glorious resurrection day. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. as John stated at the end of Revelation. Now our last verse concerning God's purity, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. God wants us living with him. God has saved us in Jesus Christ and given us the great hope of being eternally transformed, all so that we can live with him in glory. Because see, we can't, these bodies, they can't take heaven. These bodies got to be changed. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15? In the twinkling of an eye, we got to get a new body. Aren't you glad? I'm going to be so glad to get rid of this body. I pummeled this body to get it, the weight off of it. I've beaten it. I've sauteed it. I've amputated. I've cut off. I've done everything possible to get it to be, I don't know, whatever it's turned out to be. But one day I'm going to be like Jesus, and so are you. I'm looking forward to that day. God saved us in Jesus Christ, and he gave us the great hope of being eternally transformed. As we are told in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Don't get discouraged. I was so discouraged today. It's a terrible feeling, isn't it? Was anybody else discouraged today, or was it just me? I know there's a red moon coming on Sunday. Does that mean you're supposed to get more discouraged or something? I fought it with everything in me today to not be discouraged. And it's only through God's love. And he gave me the opportunity tonight to share that love with you. And whoever else is listening out there somewhere, so that I could be encouraged in the fact that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And Jesus loves you too. A love that gives and asks not why or how, but who. Am I to seek out to love this day? God has done so much for each one of us in here. God will never stop working on your behalf. God will never, ever, 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 ever give up on you. Ever. God will love you forever and ever. As long as we are here in these bodies, God will love you and think about you every moment of every day. Why? Because you are his child. Oh, what manner of love is this? It's a love that never ceases. And it's a love that God has given to us to share not just with one another, but with those that we run into throughout the day. Next time you look in the mirror, think about Jesus looking back at you smiling. Because Jesus loves you. And he cares about you. And he wants you to know that tonight. Let's stand and pray. Kevin, if you'll come up, please. Afterwards, if you need prayer, of course, there'll be people up front to pray with you, but God loves you. Say that with me. God loves you. Don't ever forget it, because God won't. God is so good, He's so good to me, and I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. Father, thank You for this night. Thank You for all that You've done. May You fill each one of our hearts with Your love in such a way that we will never ever forget that You are our Lord. Thank You for that great love. Thank You for all that You've done. Now, Lord, as we go our way, bless each one here. Help each one here to hold on to You and that love that You've given out to them. Touch, heal, help, restore, fill with Your goodness. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.